This episode is sponsored by Under Armour and their Infinite Elite Everyday Running Shoe, which I was lucky enough to head out to Barcelona and see being unveiled at its launch, and to chat to athletes like Sharon Nakidi, who won the New York Marathon a few years ago, who does all of her easy and steady runs in this pair of shoes. And then we've set Jess from the Running Channel a very specific challenge to train for 12 weeks for her fastest, hopefully ever, 10K, which is also back out in Barcelona.
Yeah, she is loving training in this shoe. And I think it's important as well, because we're so lucky we get to test lots of different shoes, but we do know that some people just want that one pair that will do everything. So Jess has been doing her long runs, interval sessions, and she will be tackling the final 10K in the Under Armour Infinite Elite shoes.
Yeah, big focus on endurance and a brand new foam, which provides extra energy return and looks after you on even your longest runs. So if you want to know more, head to the link in the show notes.
This is the Running Channel podcast with me, Sarah Hartley, Rick, I can't open a door by myself anymore, Kelsey,
and Andy Badley,
who managed to go out for a run for 3 whole seconds and got so much support from the Strava community.
What? Yeah, Thanks, the door. I thought the door was locked. No, I am not a diva.
No.
I thought the doors locked, so I waited for you to come down. I didn't have a key. I don't have a key to the studio. You two have a key to the studio. I don't have a key. I have a fob. No key.
Didn't even try the handle. Just got to the door, stepped to one side, and just looked expectingly, waiting for us to open the door for him. You're right, mate. You're comfy. Do you need your pillow plumping?
Do you want those palm fronds for me to fan you with? shall I feed you some grapes?
I would love that.
Don't worry, they are all peeled, as per your request.
As per his request for his rider every week.
I want to get off at a rider.
Only blue M&Ms. Oh my gosh, what would you put on your rider?
Hyaluronic acid.
Is that something to do with skin?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Anti-aging.
Yeah. No food?
Once I've got the hyaluronic acid, probably, I don't know, Gavi.
That's a silly question.
If in doubt, Gavi.
Despite all of that nonsense, this is a podcast about running. So yeah, we are today going to be talking about how to run a faster half marathon. We should probably get into it.
Before we do get into running a faster half marathon, though, I just want to highlight how supportive the running community is to you, Andy. Because at some point over the marathon weekend, a few weekends ago, you must have mistakenly.
I remember doing it. I remember thinking, I'll need to delete that activity afterwards.
Yeah, but you, I'm so glad you haven't, because so far it's had 464 kudoses.
Yes.
That's a word. And the comments are beautiful.
I'm just
going to read out a few
so what's
highlights.
This for? A run that we did during the marathon weekend. No.
Yeah, and the run itself was 0.00 kilometers. The pace was 1 hour, 14 minutes and 38 seconds per kilometer.
Yeah.
And the time was 3 seconds.
Right.
So good. And some of the comments are some of the, it's just,
I love you all.
They're just so good. One was a bit slow. Another comment was, started out too fast, faded in the middle section, but strong finish. And then another one said, you should title this Run With Rick. Another one said, The Sitting Channel, cracking long run, Andy. And then my favourite one, smashed it. Don't be afraid to take a few days off to recover if you need. This was a killer run, mate.
So what, did you accidentally start to run and finish it?
Yeah, I started it and then I wanted to navigate the route.
Because
we were doing a run club.
Getting out the door is the hardest part. Smashing job on the long run, mate. Make sure you drink lots of water for a proper recovery.
Yeah, inspirational stuff. Been on the Gavi again. Were you rounding up the kids?
Training for the 100 metres isn't going well, is it?
Can tell he's an ex-Olympian. They're all...
Did you change your settings to hide the first and last 15K?
Yes. I hope you tapered before this effort.
Good to see you're not embarrassed. It happens to the best of us. Pretty sure you can get tablets to help you last longer now.
Oh, no. Take our time.
Good. So that is good.
How's your week of running been, Rick?
Yeah, pretty powerful. Been out and about. Did a bit of hill training after our episode 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So
actually, I'm just going to stop you. What are you wearing?
For anyone who's listening to this, this is a bold choice today.
So it's kind of as if like a zebra threw up on you and it had just eaten a highlighter.
It's a disco.
a disco zebra.
So a zebra threw up on me after it eaten a highlighter.
Specifically a yellow highlighter. Yeah.
It's my, you know, get out there and be seen top.
I'm sure that if you went on a TV show, this is one where the producers would go, nope. where they go, that will not work on camera.
Not even the wardrobe department. They're just like, no.
This is the top I wear when I don't feel like I'm up for getting out the door top. So it's motivate yourself top. Oh. Here's a bit of colour. Get yourself out there.
Nice. You didn't feel like coming in the door today because no one was there to hold it for you.
No one was there to hold the door for me. Yeah. You know what? I've had a knock a few weeks ago with my old injury, which kind of has been producing like a little bit of arthritic pain in my left knee. And I'm trying to work out what this is, if this is kind of relatively serious, like a setback, or if this is just a little bit of kind of growing pain as I build up training. Hopefully it's the latter. And we can do the Royal Parks later in the year, half marathon, because that's...
Is that what you want to do?
Well, it's because you were talking about it the other day and I thought, well, actually, that sounds like a really realistic aim, hopefully. Mm. Are we all going to do it?
Half marathon? I want to run a faster half marathon this year.
Me too.
I know it's not about pace, but if I do one, I might do one which isn't fast and one which I go all out in.
Oh, can I come and run it with you?
Yeah.
Great.
If we get there, let's do it.
I thought you loved having Sarah talk at you.
Yeah, I'll do that again, but this time longer.
Yeah, let's do it.
His
enthusiasm has diminished all of a sudden.
Yeah, okay, maybe. Let's put a big question mark on that. Andy, your week.
Back into the swing of things. I'd had a couple of weeks. I had that week down in the New Forest where it felt like a training camp. Mm. Then came back into work, which was manic in the lead up to London. And then that week of London itself was bonkers as well. So I was running 3 or 4 times a week still, but very much fitting in what I could. And anyone that's been looking on Strava will have seen that some of those runs were, this wasn't what I was supposed to do, but I've done something. Mm. And I felt a lot better when I did get out there and do something. And then this week has been the first week where I got back into it a little bit more, felt a little bit more human. I'd had a day off and a nap the other day. That was brilliant. Why?
Do you find it easy, like if you have the plan of what you need to do, do you find it easy to go like, right, okay, no, I'm not doing that? Or does like it really annoy you?
It did annoy me. I'm sure it annoys lots of people. You feel guilty. I felt guilty for not doing exactly what I was supposed to do. I'd have dug myself a hole I wouldn't have come back from, I don't think. Mm. And I'd have made myself ill. You know, you can just tell you're going through this period of stress and busyness where you know when you come out the end of it, if you do go too far, you will immediately get ill as your body just tries to reset. Yeah. So I've managed to avoid that so far, despite having poorly children and stuff at home.
Nice.
So it's just...
Well, if one goes down, they all go down.
Yeah.
Mm. So, yeah. It's like a knock-on effect.
It's literally dominoes of Andy's children. Do you want to talk about my week of running?
Yeah, I do.
I'm back running.
Whee!
Not sessions yet, not anything fancy, but straight after London, I've put myself on a 3-week plan to get back up to 4 runs a week. So week 1 run. Week 2 runs. Mm. Week 3 runs.
What happens on week 15?
What do you mean? Oh, no, it's a 4-week plan.
Oh, okay.
That's good that you've dived straight back into it. Because for some people, it's like, right, I've done the marathon, stop, chill out. But then you actually go back to your roots, your hardcore roots for running. And what is many people's hardcore roots for running? Mood regulation. Mm. I got this recently. A lot of people have been talking to me about how they regulate their mood with running. And I love it because I'd not even thought about it before. Mm. Loads of people told me this at mile 27, but obviously a couple of weeks on now from the marathon, I've been like speaking to people at parkrun, been speaking to some mates who run. And I was like, you know, the old question of why do you run?
Yeah.
Well, actually, so many people now, it's down to mood regulation. So if you're feeling stressed, you're feeling up, you're feeling down, it just brings you back to that zenith of power.
This description of mood regulation implies to me that either you haven't run today or just before the podcast, you were taking some recreational drugs. Absolutely bonkers.
Just because I've come in with my zebra felt it pent up.
No, I think that is true though. Maybe that's why mood regulation. So many people...
We didn't think about this enough.
100% for me.
Yeah.
Like I was planning on running yesterday morning. I had my kit on already and then one of my kids was poorly, so then I was working from home, so he stayed at home with me all day. He's too young for me to go out for a run, so I couldn't go out for a run. Then my lovely wife got back
pretty late, but it was still light just about. And I still had my running kit on because I'd just left it on all day.
Still light just about. This time of year, it's light till like 9 o'clock, isn't it?
She was pretty late back. So then I was like...
You got to put all the kids to bed by yourself.
I had already done... It's hard work. Several of
you'd
the
already
children.
Done the first day block. Yeah, yeah.
Done the first block.
Yeah, the first dormitory were down. And then I was moving up through the house. But as she came back, I was like, okay, Tag, you're it. And then I just went out. I was like, can I go for a run? And I went out the door and I felt so much better for doing it.
Mood regulation.
Yeah, 100%.
Do you ever find though sometimes like I'll go out for a morning run, I'll be like, whoo, feeling good. And then something really stressful will happen and you'll be like, oh,
yeah, it's just ruined
I've already
it all.
Done my run. I need to do another one.
Completely. And you know what? I also have been thinking about like this year for a part of our kind of big blocks of the year and aims.
Segway approaching.
Sorry. Yeah. No. It's not. No, it's
Segway unapproaching.
Reverse segue. About weight through your legs, like if you're knocking a bit off. So I'm trying to get down to fighting weight. So I'm 95 kg.
Are you going to fight other zebras? it's the yellow highlighter versus the pink highlighter.
That sounds like a kid's book I was reading last night. No, I'm 95 kg. So I'm going to try and get down for some races later in the year to, you know, maybe between 85 and 90, so not a significant amount, because that's less through the weight. Shut up, Rick!
I want this to stay in the edit. Please leave it in the edit.
Less through the legs. You know, I always talk about single leg presses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's the third time you've tried to say that, right? Yeah. just for the edit that you're going to try and do to get around it. Yeah. Don't edit this out. Don't edit it out, mate.
That is a reference to last week's.
Right, anyway, so my physio has always talked about trying to get my whole body weight through a single leg press. I know that's very hard, but you can build it up to do it. And this is what is really good for your S&C, because single leg presses are the Adonis of good running form, I would suggest. So I'm thinking I can lower my weight and therefore put less force through my knees, less pressure on my knees, and therefore potentially have the ability to run further. So I'm on a weight attack plan to lower my kgs from 95 to between 85 and 90 by the time we get to half marathon season at the end of the year.
And that's a sort of personal thing for you. Actually, loads of people do get into running in the first place for weight loss, don't they? We never focus on that on here because, you know, it can lead to unhealthy habits and so on, but you've got a very good motivation for doing it, which is that
it's about impact.
Yeah, impact for you with the history of knee pain that you've got.
Yeah,
and it's logical that, you know, if you can lose a little bit of weight healthily, then that will help with your knee health.
I think the main thing as well, though, is like you said, it's not just about the weight; it's also about the strength. Like the biggest thing is about not having imbalances. And I know for me, like whenever I've picked up little injuries, it's because I don't go to the gym. However,
are you still on your streak?
Oh no, I lost it on London Marathon Week. Absolutely gutted. I was in the taper. I was just chilling, loving my life, and then got to race day, and I was like, oh, I haven't done Pilates this week. Oh no.
Oh well.
So I destroyed it. I did, however, do some stretching, which I'm wondering if
I think the stretching counts if you did
also,
a stretching session.
Very exciting update, guys. I joined a gym.
Oh yeah.
So far, ask me what I've done in the gym.
Hang on, you joined the gym. So how have you been going to the gym before to do your S&C?
I just always did it at home.
Oh, really?
Mm.
So what have you done in the gym so far since joining?
So far, I've used the treadmill twice.
Ah. Okay.
I've used a mat.
Yeah, congratulations.
I used the swimming pool and the hot tub and the sauna.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And you had a bath with two ladies in their 90s.
Oh yeah, that was awkward. So after the marathon, the day after the marathon, I was like, excellent. I haven't used any of the like swimming stuff yet in this gym. I'm going to go check it out. Get there. I'm like, well, I'm not swimming. I did do a couple of laps in the end, but I was like, this is stupid. I'm not here to exercise. I'm here to relax. The bubbles or the jets or whatever in the hot tub weren't on. And I was like, I'm sure you get in and then you press a button. So I got in, sat down and was essentially just in a big warm bath by myself with a lifeguard behind me. There wasn't a button. And then I turned and was like, ah, they're doing works on this. So I just sat there awkwardly until they finished and then they came on. It was warm, but it wasn't so warm Tepid. That I was,
Smell a bit bromine-y maybe.
Yeah, it was interesting. Yeah. Anyway.
And there's a lifeguard on the hot tub.
Because it was in the same section as the swimming pool.
I might put a chair behind my back garden, one of those lifeguard chairs. Anyway, sorry.
Anyway, should we talk about faster half marathons?
Yes.
I've got a half marathon booked for later this year. Andy wants to run a half marathon.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
I've signed up to the big half. I'm hoping it has the same vibes and atmosphere as the London Marathon. I'm sure it won't be quite as big, but I just want to sprint through the streets of London doing a half marathon.
I haven't signed up for one yet. I need to work out which one I'm doing. I'm just hoping I can take the Rick Kelsey approach to things and doors will just open for me. So I have yet to decide.
Do a Rick. But I think a half marathon is a really interesting one because it's quite a long way.
Yeah.
There will be some people listening to this who want to build up to their first half. There will be others listening to this who want to knock some time off and have already done one.
Yeah.
There might be people listening to this who have just done a marathon in spring marathon season or an ultra. And so they're having to bring down the distance that they're running and build up speed. So I guess we should go through what runs and what kind of skills do you need to run a half marathon? What are the kind of key things to be doing? And we've got to let Rick talk about S&C as well, because that's very
He's done important. It already. He'll bang on about leg press, single leg press again. Just in case he's edited it out already, he did try and say that bit about the single leg press 3 or 4 times.
I have edited it out.
Okay, right.
Hey, it's Rick from the future. Is that jacket a time travel machine?
Yeah. The zebra's been sick again.
Yeah. Oh, I'm kidding. I do love that jacket, mate.
Thanks, mate. Thank you.
You hardly mentioned it.
I think
also.
You gave me it, actually.
Did I?
Yeah. Oh. About 3 years ago.
Right. So, faster half marathon. Yeah. What runs should people be doing?
It does depend on which side of this you're coming from. So, the reason we wanted to cover this now is, like yourself, there could be people in that kind of post-marathon blues period where they need an aim to pick themselves back up for. And then to start mapping out, okay, here's when I'm going to start running again after the marathon. I'm going to build back into it. And then by this day, I'm going to run a half marathon.
Yeah.
Or loads of people, you know, we know that there's lots of people listening who have never run a marathon and might never want to.
Mm.
And the furthest they've ever run might be a 10K. So then now's the time, potentially, to look to build towards an exciting half marathon, to see if you can challenge yourself to do something you've never done before.
Yeah.
So those two things are quite different. Because if your longest run to date is 10K, then training for half marathon looks quite different to if you've just come off a marathon. So clearly you can cover the distance and then maybe you're looking to work on your time. So maybe we should start with one or the other.
Maybe, well, so I'm guessing everyone across the board will need some kind of long run.
Yeah.
And that's probably the thing that will look the most similar. So if you're building up and if you look at a half marathon plan, you will see that it will take you probably from around 8 to 10K distance all the way up to over a half marathon. If you've done one before, or if you haven't run a half marathon before, you might go up to kind of 18, 19K, which can be a little bit daunting, but it's the same kind of thing as if you are training for a marathon where you don't need to run the distance, especially if you're running it for the first time. The amount of recovery that you will need after completing the distance outweighs running it
and
beforehand.
And the approach is probably similar in that if you just run a marathon, then you don't want to jump straight back. You have obviously clearly been doing like 18, 20 miles in long runs.
Yeah.
30 plus K. Mm-hmm. So you don't need to jump straight back into that or to jump straight back into running a half marathon. I would still think do a little bit of a reset, both mentally and physically. And just that starting off point is probably going to be slightly higher if you're already pretty well trained.
Yeah.
But you could still be bringing it right down to like, well, the first Sunday, if you do your long run on a Sunday, is going to be 10K.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to build from there. And it'd be surprising how quickly you can build up to a distance where you all of a sudden feel confident about running the half marathon or running it quickly. And then it's how many times a week can you commit to training for it? So 3 is great. 4, possibly even better, particularly if you want to run a faster time.
Yeah.
And then once you're going above that, then that's when like planning and structure comes into it. And the 80-20 rule becomes more important the more runs that you do.
The 80-20 rule?
So yeah, it's 80% of your runs should be relatively slow and easy. So zone 2, zone 3 running. And then 20% should be at that higher intensity, so half marathon pace or faster.
So if we look at like those 3 runs, say, we're probably getting in there an easy run, which most people will start their week by doing because that is it's a bit of active recovery. If you've just done a long run, you're getting your legs back into it.
Yes.
Then the second run is usually going to be something faster, which I find exciting with half marathon training because the sessions aren't as long as you get with marathon training.
Yeah.
For interval wise, but they're a little bit, the reps are longer and they are a little bit longer than if you're doing like 5K, 10K training. So I quite like that for half marathon training.
Yeah, and you can get away actually. You don't have to throughout a half marathon plan be doing training that you would consider to be half marathon training. Like if you're in pretty good 10K shape, then you can use those same sort of sessions. So sessions that might be 8 or 10 times 1K.
Yeah.
Which you might think to yourself, well, that's clearly a 10K session, but I still have massive benefit to running a half marathon. And if you are trying to run a faster half marathon, running 8 or 10K of effort much faster than your half marathon pace, because they should probably be at your 10K pace or slightly quicker.
Yeah.
That all of a sudden gives you that headroom when you go and run the half marathon. It's like, oh, this pace is easy for me.
Mm-hmm.
So there's reasons for doing those things. So yeah, that second run should probably be intervals or threshold or a combination of the two.
I have a question. If two people were going head to head, you have one person who is, and they're going to do exactly the same like training in the lead up to it. You have one person who is sick at 5Ks, like super, super quick 5Ks.
Yeah.
You have another person who is sick at marathons, super, super good at marathons, and you pin them against each other. Who do you think would be better over a half marathon?
Good question.
That's a great question. I mean, you've described me and other people. Like, I think I'm good at 5K.
Oh, right, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And therefore, like, have run a marathon, but compared to other people, my marathon time relative to what I can run for 5Ks is a bit slower.
If you're trying to run a fast half marathon,
yeah.
It is that weird, like, you are running fast, but you're running for, like, a long time. So you need, like...
So the answer's neither then, Sarah.
Yeah, I'd probably back maybe the, it's a specialist.
I'd back the marathon runner, but the it's an interesting one, because I've trained with some really elite marathon runners, and they're so dialed into their marathon pace that often I, at that point when I was training them, I was doing what I'd consider to be 5K and 10K training.
Mm-hmm.
We would do workouts together where we're running 5K or 10K pace. And they can run 26 miles, 42K at, for those guys, probably 3 minute Ks.
Yeah.
Which is staggering.
Mm-hmm.
But then asking them to run a 250K or a 255K, so 5 or 10 seconds faster per kilometer, just for 1K or 2K.
Was too much.
It was really surprising to me that after a few of those efforts, I would still be feeling quite good. And they would be really struggling because you've taken them out of their comfort zone.
That's when I think that you see, like, do you remember the kick that, was it Sifan Hassan had at the end of London Marathon when she won it? Like, that is when you can see, okay, that is an incredible marathon athlete who is also so good at a 5K and has that sprint finish to then, like, completely ditch people at the line.
That's been what's really unusual, I think, development in the last 5 or 6 years, is that now people are able to be quite good at a really wide range of distances at the same time, broadly. You know, she ran and won London Marathon, and then a few months later was competing in the 5K, 10K, and I think the 1500 meters at the World Champs in Budapest. And that, you know, the common thoughts previously, and as I was growing up and then as I was competing, was that, like, you couldn't have that range.
Yeah.
You could be good at a distance either side of your distance, and arguably needed to be world class at the distances either side of your distance to be the best in the world at that. So for Mo Farah at the 5K, he needs to be great at 10K and the 1500. For me at 1500, you need to be good at 800 and 5K or 3K. But then for someone to be like, Sifan Hassan's not slow at 800. She's really fast and world-class at 1500 and 5K and 10K and the half marathon and the marathon.
I just feel like they do so much mileage. They've got, like,
it's got the legs,
they've got time.
Yeah.
And actually, I think that might be it. And I think, I mean, I bring things back to shoes quite a lot.
Yeah.
But I think previously, to do the amount of miles that you needed to put in for the marathon, your legs were pretty dead. And so then to then turn your legs over fast enough to run a good 1500 meters and do the training that would allow you to do it, you'd likely get injured or just not be able to do it.
Because now, foams, carbon plates.
I think you can. I noticed it even as a 40-year-old training for a marathon. Like, I was recovering faster than I thought I should from my long runs. And that definitely is because of the shoes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So I guess that's a good point with half marathons as well, is that if you are thinking about tackling a half and you're building up to it for the first time, or just things to think about, you might need fuel. You probably will need fuel if you're running a faster half marathon. So that might be gels, or it might be chews, or it might be solid food, something to get you through it, depending on whether it's a fast road half marathon or even a trail half marathon. You need to think about water, nutrition, kit as well.
That's the biggest step up from the 10K. I think in the 10K, if you're, for most of the training that you do and in the race itself, you're very unlikely to need any significant fueling or hydration. You might need a little bit of hydration on the race day as you're running. But in most of your training, you probably don't need any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, you might be better off in your long run for a 10K trying not to take any fuel. Because for me, when I was training, I would do a 90-minute long run every Sunday. I never had any fuel, because that last 20 minutes, when I was then essentially running out of fuel, was where I felt I got the most adaptation in my training.
Right.
But yeah, I think if you're stepping up from 10K to half, that's going to be the biggest thing. Is all of a sudden you do have to think about those. Don't need it in your training all of the time, but just be smart about testing it.
Running with stuff, essentially.
Yeah.
You haven't got to with a 10K. You just need to adapt your plan. So you're going to be stopping. You might need a toilet break. You might need gels. You're going to be carrying.
You need some pockets, maybe, or a pack, or a belt.
Different game, isn't it?
It's a few more things to think about. Rick, just to finish up on the half marathon, if you're going to do one, you haven't done one for a while, what makes you nervous, or is there anything sort of element of into the unknown?
Shoes. I think I really need to speak to a podiatrist to absolutely get my feet nailed, because I really want to make sure that I am running in the perfect shoes for cushioning, padding, support, which I don't think I've got, you know, down to a T yet.
Yeah, I think the combination we talked about, where you're looking to try to lose a little bit of weight to reduce the impact through your knees to give yourself every chance. The reality of a half marathon is it will start to exaggerate biomechanical inefficiencies. Mm-hmm. So as you get more fatigued in a half marathon, that's going to be much more exaggerated than it would be in a 10K. So having the right shoes and the right strength and conditioning to make sure that your knees, ankles and hips are moving the right way relative to each other, you're not kind of having an imbalance that starts to make the joints work inefficiently and potentially start to get sore. So that I think you're right. I think that could be a good thing for us to look at the Running Channel, maybe, to see how you get on.
Yeah. Ooh, well, best of luck, all in. Rick. All in. All of us. Half marathons are upon us. This is the Running Channel podcast. Up next, we've got your questions, but first, the news. Don't forget, this episode is sponsored by Under Armour and their Infinite Elite shoes. Now, at the Running Channel, we bang on all the time about how if you want to run fast, you need to run slow. I'm talking about the 80-20 rule.
Yes, you need to do the vast majority of your training at an easier or steadier pace. And you need an everyday pair of running shoes that you trust to do that. And the Infinite Elite has brand new cushioning technology in the form of Under Armour's Hover Plus. So that's designed to support you for the whole of even your longest runs with extra cushioning and energy return. So that's what this is all about.
Yeah, and if you want to check out the Under Armour Infinite Elite, head to the link in the show notes.
Andy, news time, what have you got?
I've got one that I thought that Rick would very much be excited by. Mm. I had missed this at the time, and then I think we covered it on the Running Channel website. This is, during the London Marathon, runner tastes 25 glasses of wine.
Oh,
I
love this guy. I follow him.
Yes.
He's nuts. His hair is wild.
Did he have a Gavi, though?
I don't know, actually. So Tom Gilby, 52, swapped glucose gels for Malbec and Merlot as he completed the race. I'm reading this from the BBC website. And he raised more than £14,000 for charity in the process, which I think is pretty cool.
Amazing.
He had two glasses in his running belt. Started out strong at mile one, identifying a 2018 Burgundy Pinot Noir. And I think he almost named 21 of the 25 wines correctly.
Where did he get the wine from, though? Was it people on the side who he met at every mile marker? I think that's how he did it.
I think he carried
26 different wines with him.
No.
He was meeting people on the route.
He was meeting people, yeah. I followed this guy already. I mean, he's a marvellous individual.
Do you reckon if we did this with you for like a 5K and every K you had to stop and taste a Gavi, do you reckon you'd get the right type of Gavi at each one?
Well, I definitely know Gavi to Gavi.
Really?
Yeah, but I don't think I'd get the right... I mean, there are quite a few different Gavis.
So you... Okay, maybe we should do that as a game. Is this Gavi de Gavi? Yes or no?
Yes,
that's a good game.
A live taste test, because I can't believe he got all of these right.
Let's get him on. Maybe he's a guest.
Who's
for TRC
faster,
Meets.
Someone doing a wine taste test during a marathon, or someone carrying a fridge?
Yeah, good question.
Hmm. Well, he actually got passed by someone carrying a fridge.
Yeah. Oh.
So maybe we already know the answer to that question. But I think it's probably having to stop and deliver those tasting notes.
Yeah. It's fine. Don't worry about it. What's his name, Toby?
Tom Gilby.
Tom. Don't worry about it, Tom. I got passed by Jesus on the cross, on the mall, doing my marathon. These things happen. A fridge is no big deal.
Wow.
There was also an incredibly fast dinosaur this year at London.
Oh, was that Joel Dommett?
No, he was in the Piranha.
He's in the Piranha, right, yeah.
Okay, questions, anyway. Rick.
Caitlin from London. I've been running for a few years and recently increased the number of days running to 4 and the number of strength days to 2. Well played. But have unfortunately noticed my skin hasn't loved the change. I try to shower and change as soon as possible, but wondering if you have any tips for looking after your surface level body. For context, I can't afford skin caviar, but other suggestions would be greatly appreciated.
No one else can.
Rick, no skin caviar. Go on then, skin expert.
That was an incredible little, when you read out what she'd increased her number of days too, there was this lovely little very radio moment. I can't remember exactly what said, but it was like, oh, well done you.
Is it like Sarah and I on Times Radio post-marathon?
It probably was.
Exactly
very
like
yeah. Professional broadcaster.
Well, I'll let you two chip in, but I'll give you a couple of thoughts. So a base Nivea Blue, I carry it with me everywhere. You know, the old school Nivea Blue?
Yeah.
It's incredibly thick. Has some of them have got hyaluronic acid in them, which reduce wrinkles, tightening, and it like instantly reduces tightness in your skin.
This is the most animated I've seen you. Yeah. This is incredible.
So, anything with hyaluronic acid in it, Nivea Blue is a base body cream. It's amazing. I carry a tub everywhere. You can put it on your face, but it's great for your body. I use Kiehl's on my face because
we should have got Kiehl's, some sponsorship plugs here, shouldn't we?
Yeah,
this is completely off the cuff.
Kiehl's has got SPF built into it. If you're a bloke, it's a lot harder to get skin cream which has got SPF built into it.
Actually, just
there are only a couple. Go on, Andy.
I was just going to touch on how important that was. I can't talk about, I suppose, how your skin feels, but having had this chopped out of my head, which did turn out to be a form of skin cancer.
Yeah.
But they have since said that they got it all, which is great. But one of the biggest tips that I would say, and that I was told as well, was you have to have SPF in your daily face cream. And then put sun cream on as well, probably, when you go out in the sun particularly, but year-round SPF.
There's loads of really good, I think we got it in for testing a few years ago. There's a men's sun cream brand called like Man Cave or something, which does like four sports as well, because it sweats off.
Not many of them have got SPF in the blokes. Really? So look for SPF. It should have like a lot of them, some of them have an SPF factor of 15 built in. And like Andy says, then with a top up, definitely put an SPF on base layer as soon as you can. I like a caffeine eye roller as well, you know, which I think helps loosen up the skin a little bit.
People could go on forever.
So
you
maybe
do
I'll
face masks as well.
I do like a face mask. Yeah.
People wouldn't believe you're 65.
Not a day over 100, mate. Yeah. Just to add to that, I have a very, so like my skin was also super, super problematic from running as well. I found that the best thing is, like you say, Caitlin, doing it quickly, like after a run, but moisturizer in everything. So like my face wash is like a moisturizing face wash. The moisturizer, you can tell I don't have a 6-step skincare routine like Rick. The moisturizer
that I use.
You've got
the luxury of being 25.
Yeah. So yeah. And then that has like SPF in it as well, but like just doing it really, really quickly. But I would say there are loads of great products out there, but are you drinking enough?
Yeah.
Because you're doing a lot of exercise. And honestly, the one thing that has helped my skin the most is one, drinking more water, and two, electrolyte tablet every single day has made a huge difference. So start with what you're putting inside and then
cod liver oil as well. And by the way, if you don't have to spend a lot on these big skin creams with hyaluronic acid in them. If you go to Aldi or Lidl, they do the big
Aldi. Aldi? That sounded Aldi.
Aldi. Would you say Aldi or Aldi?
I'd have said Aldi, yeah.
All right, okay. All right.
You're from the north.
I tell you what else.
You've got the luxury of a hard A.
I wouldn't have said hyaluronic acid 15 times in one podcast. That's the most I've ever heard it mentioned.
Anyway, you can get them cheaper from there. Thank you.
And just quickly before we go, our second question, a little bit different. It's an update. So you might remember a few episodes ago, we got an email in from a guy called Sam Taylor, brackets, former runner. However, we've got an update from Sam, which we thought everyone would be really eager to read. So just to summarise, he said, I thought it about time that I dropped you a note to provide an update, and cutting to the chase, the news is very good.
Yeah, he'd been told that by his surgeon that arthritis in his knee would mean that he would never be able to run again, right?
Mm-hmm. So the amazing thing is that he's seen lots of different physios and he now is back running, which is incredible. He said, starting with a 10-minute gentle jog, I've been able to build up the duration of my runs over the past few weeks, and last Saturday was able to go back to Woodley Park Run for the first time. Without a doubt, running 3 laps of a boggy park with a slight detour to avoid the travelling fun fair that had arrived the day before was one of the most enjoyable runs I had ever had. Despite knowing that the time no longer mattered, part of my brain was still telling me that the time did matter. And so I had a bit of a telling off from Bob on Monday, that's his physio, for going too fast. The good news is my knee is still currently holding up, and so we carry on, and every run I go feels like a major bonus.
Lovely. Absolutely. Sam Taylor, no longer a former runner.
So good. So just, I know that isn't the case for every single person, but like hopefully if you are struggling with injury, that can give you a bit of motivation to know that it's not always going to be forever. You can get through a lot of injuries, and so made up for Sam there.
Yeah, it's really exciting to get this in, and I know we had lots of people write in to send Sam their support. And we had been in touch with Sam separately as well, kind of off air, checking in on him, and that's why we've got this lovely update, which is really gives us a lot of pleasure to share. So really lovely way to finish, I think.
Very lovely way to finish. And I would love to hear more stories from you. That's my request this week. Email in podcast@therunningchannel.com. Have you got a story like Sam's that you want to share with us? And we would love to read some more incredible, inspiring stories out. And we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
This episode was brought to you by Under Armour and their Infinite Elite Everyday Running Shoe, which has a focus on both comfort and endurance. So an ultra springy, responsive feel that protects your legs and keeps them feeling fresh, which is what Jess has been putting to the test as she's been training for over the last 12 weeks for taking on her ultimate ever 10K. And she's been focused on consistency. So being able to show up with those fresh legs every day and every week in order to put in the work and the recovery that she needs to do to run her best.
If you want to check out the Under Armour Infinite Elite, head to the link in the show notes.